Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Wonderful to have you with us today. We just heard about the passing of baseball great Hank Aaron. Coming up later this hour, we'll hear another baseball legend, Vin Scully's tremendous call of the record-setting home run that Hank Aaron hit to pass Babe Ruth. I was watching the game live on network television, heard Scully's call as it happened, and it gives me chills to think back on that remarkable day. I'll be joined by Nick Roman of All Things Considered. We may have A. Martinez and may have the full triple play to talk about Aaron and his extraordinary accomplishments in multiple areas, not just hitting home runs. But at least Nick will definitely be with us later this hour. We begin with the very latest in politics, as you just heard on NPR News. A very busy first couple of days for Joe Biden in his presidency, including what is described as a wartime effort against COVID-19, efforts to ramp up vaccinations across the country, FEMA mounting a response as well to run vaccination sites, and generally a much larger role for the federal government than has been the case with the previous administration. Joining us, White House correspondent for Politico, Tyler Pager. Tyler, great to have you with us again. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much for having me.
Tyler, let's start first with what the president is proposing here in COVID-19 response. Share with us some of the specifics.
Yeah, so the president has kind of thematically rolled out some of these early executive orders in his first day in his first days in the White House, and yesterday was a day devoted to the coronavirus pandemic. He issued 10 executive orders, one of the biggest ones being invoking the Defense Production Act, calling it a wartime undertaking to boost production of vaccine supplies. And then it kind of spanned the gamut. He directed the Department of Education and the Department of Health and Human Services to get guidance out to schools and businesses to reopen safely. He also directed FEMA to work more closely with the states and the federal government to try to better distribute the vaccine and expedite that process. So really a wide ranging of executive orders, all trying to hit the coronavirus response and particularly the vaccination effort from multiple angles.
The Defense Production Act, I'm certainly no expert, but I know that it does give the federal government the ability to be very hands-on with private businesses and essentially, commandeering those for the production of what are deemed necessary goods. And is there any indication that the president is, beyond invoking the act, would take very strong measures to essentially order companies to go into production of certain COVID-19 related products?
Yeah, so the Defense Production Act is something he has been calling on the government to invoke for months since, the onset of this pandemic in the middle of last year. He called on then-President Trump to use this act to push private businesses to manufacture key items like masks and gowns and other protective medical equipment. And now a lot of the act is dedicated to the vaccine. So whether that's the manufacturing part of the distribution, one example is for the Pfizer vaccine, they need a very specific instrument to be able to pipette the doses out of the vial and get them into the needles, and they're running out of those. And so in order to really meet his goal of 100 million vaccinations in 100 days, there's just a lot more material that they need. And this is how the Biden administration sees it best able to expedite that process.
FEMA looking at, I think it's 100 vaccination centers, which isn't a huge number for a country this large. Do we have any sense from FEMA as to where they would look to situate those federally operated vaccination centers?
Yeah, so we're still waiting for some more details on exactly what these federally supported vaccination sites will look like. They have said Biden released a 200-page coronavirus national strategy yesterday, and it said that these sites, they would have them standing up by the end of February. But the details, I think, we're still waiting on. But one thing I'd note about these sites is that, states, it depends on where you look in the country, but some states are saying, these sites sound great, but we can't actually do anything with them if we don't have more vaccine. So in many parts of the country, the supply of the vaccine is not able to meet the demand. And so in certain areas, there's lagging in terms of the vaccine is out there, but not, you know, put in someone's arm yet. In other states, they just don't have the capacity to vaccinate more people, even if there are more sites, because the vaccine is not produced fast enough to get it out the door.
California, one of those states that's struggling, it's 38% of vaccines on hand administered, puts it, last I saw it, 45th out of the 50 states in distribution of the vaccine. So clearly our state struggling with this significantly. Tyler Pager, White House correspondent for Politico, with us on Air Talk this morning. Let's talk about the confirmations of Joe Biden's cabinet. We have General Lloyd Austin has been confirmed as Secretary of Defense, a vote of 93-2. The Senate Finance Committee, as we just heard on NPR News, unanimously advancing Janet Yellen's nomination to be Treasury Secretary. With General Austin, this is something that I know for many senators gave them some qualms about having what is typically a civilian position, having someone straight out of the military heading it up. Waiver was required as a result to do this. Not the first time, but certainly there are concerns about this happening more than once. What's your sense of the Senate's interest in taking up this issue of whether they want to grant waivers in the future?
Yeah, I think the story of retired General Lloyd Austin's confirmation is quite an interesting one, because when then President-elect Joe Biden announced his intent to nominate Austin for the post, there was a lot of pushback, bipartisan pushback, from Democrats and Republicans in the House and the Senate about this needing of a waiver. And obviously, Trump got one approved for his nominee, but Democrats and Republicans were not eager to grant another waiver for Austin, and obviously you need one from both the House and the Senate. And so there was a lot of consternation among some Democrats about whether or not Austin would get the waiver. And then, you know, just a few weeks later, he sails through confirmation in the Senate, and the House gets that waiver across as well. And I think it just shows how much the political landscape has changed in recent weeks. Obviously, Democrats picking up both seats in Georgia gave them control of the Senate, but also the insurrection in the Capitol just a little bit over, just a few weeks ago, have really dramatically changed the way that lawmakers are approaching Joe Biden's cabinet, and particularly the national security postings, trying to get those people in place as quickly as possible, saying that it's a necessity that the national security apparatus is there, given the threats that the country is facing and what we've seen unfold in Washington over the past month.
I was curious, because a couple of weeks ago, I did an event with former Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta, of course, held a number of prominent federal positions. And I asked him about General Austin, and he said, well, he thinks the world of Austin, everybody holds him in very high regard. He said he would vote to confirm him and to do the waiver. But he said he would attempt after that to ban the use of waivers, because he felt it was so important that it be a civilian, not someone coming from the military into that defense secretary position. So I was curious if any of the senators concurred with Leon Panetta on foreclosing that in the future. We're talking with Tyler Pager, who is Politico White House correspondent, joining us on Air Talk. Let's talk about impeachment. And we have Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, who said he would like the impeachment to begin next month, not immediately after the article of impeachment is presented by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to the Senate. The Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer sounds like he's open to that, but it does sound like they're looking for some quid pro quo, Tyler.
Exactly. So Nancy Pelosi telling now Majority Leader Chuck Schumer that she will transmit the articles on Monday, and barring a deal, that would trigger likely the start of the impeachment trial on Tuesday. But as you mentioned, you know, they're still working out this power sharing agreement between Republicans and Democrats with this 50-50 Senate tie. Mitch McConnell wants an agreement that Schumer would not do away with the filibuster as part of taking over the majority, and there seems to be at a standstill there. Joe Biden signaled as a candidate that he was not in favor of getting rid of the filibuster, but now there's some prominent voices that Joe Biden listens to, including New York Times columnist David Brooks, writing today that he would suggest maybe the Democrats should get rid of the filibuster if the Republicans stonewall their coronavirus relief effort. So I think that is really the sticking point here in determining how they move forward, whether the impeachment trial starts on Tuesday or they strike an agreement to delay it for 2 weeks.
I also got the sense that, you know, Schumer is wanting some sort of commitment that there won't be stonewalling on confirming not just the cabinet members, but all the next level or two down from there who are presidential nominees and rapidly confirming those. What's your sense, Tyler, of Republicans' willingness to do fairly quickly paced confirmations of those nominees?
Yeah, I think that's an open question. I mean, Democrats now have the advantage that they can push through all of these nominees without any sort of Republican support if Democrats stay in line and approve them, and Vice President Kamala Harris serves as the tiebreaker. I think the larger question is just over the delays. If the impeachment trial starts on Tuesday, it might be difficult to hold hearings, to vote on confirmation, depending on the length of the trial. And also, we can't forget that Joe Biden has this ambitious legislative agenda, namely a $1.9 trillion coronavirus relief package that they want to get through quickly as well. And we know the Senate is not a body that moves quickly. And so there's a lot of considerations there just about timing and sequencing of these priorities and ensuring, you know, for Democrats that they get Joe Biden's nominees through it. And there's lots of them to get through, obviously, at the secretariat level, the heads of the department, but also all the deputies across the agencies. And given the scale and scope of the crises, Joe Biden has been very clear that he wants to try to get these nominees in as quickly as possible.
Yeah, and all the delay in the transition process. Tyler, so good to talk with you. We appreciate it. Have a very good weekend.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tyler Pager, White House correspondent for Politico. And of course, Monday, when we're back with you on Air Talk, we'll also be talking politics, because I'd anticipate we'll have a fairly busy weekend. What's going on in both houses of Congress. And of course, with the quick pace just right out of the gate for the new president, Joe Biden. It's Air Talk on KPCC.